X gon' give it to you. Wait for you to get it on your own. X gon' deliver to you. Knock, knock, open up the door, it's real. With the non-stop pop out from stainless steel.
Welcome back to the Inside the Cross MLL podcast. My name is Kyle Devitt. I'm the gear and lifestyle editor for Inside the Cross. I'm your host today, and I'm joined by
Chris Rosenthal, Inside the Cross freelance contributor and MLL analyst.
We have a big update for you guys in terms of last week's games, but we just want to let you know off the top of the bat, this is a wild pod. This is a wild podcast. We are not playing around. We're not playing around. We're not even going to tell you what's going to happen in the podcast. You just got to stay tuned for these interviews. They're the best two interviews I think we've done all season with Mike Evans and Miles Jones. But first, we're going to get to the weekend update. First game we're going to talk about, New York 15, Ohio 14. Big win for the Liz. Even bigger win for Will Manny, who won Offensive Player of the Week. And now, Chris, I must dare the Cannons to defend the trade, as they have been conspicuously silent. I dare them. What are they going to say?
Well, yeah, you know, I'm glad that you're daring them and you're not daring me, because I don't have good answers for the I don't have good answers for the reasoning behind it, and I definitely don't have good answers for the current state of being. I don't think Boston thought that they would perform that well immediately after getting traded. I think that's the part that kind of hurts a little more. And the Cannons have this long break where they just kind of get to stew on it. It's like 2 weeks of potential seller's remorse.
Yeah, I mean, not only did Will Manny, you know, have a great game in this with four goals, but the game winner came on a two-pointer from what I perceive as New York's greatest ball movement all year that freed up the other guy in that trade, Joe LoCascio, for a two-point bomb that got past Bernlohr with a little over a minute left. And Ohio got the ball. But Chris, what were they running at the end?
You know, it seemed a bit scattered, I think might have been the best way to go. It looked like there should have just been one move you make. And first of all, if you're coming out of a timeout, which they did have to take a timeout to kind of settle things down, I think there's two ways you can play it. You give it to one of your captains right away, you know, so you can either give it to Holman, and Marcus Holman, you know, kind of drives toward the goal, you know, GLE back towards X. If you don't have that kind of time, give it to Schreiber, have him stay up top and start dealing from up top where the ball was. Now, what they did was they gave it to Jake Bernhardt, which I'm not opposed to. I mean, he's been killing it offensively all season. But I feel like if you are going to give it to Jake Bernhardt, especially if he has a short stick on him, you need to just get everybody else out of the way. You know, one guy up top and then everybody at, like, GLE or behind the goal, and just kind of let him do his thing in that situation. It looked like there was a lot of kind of picking, a lot of scrambling right around in the slot near him, and it seemed to kind of handcuff him.
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree. I think I would have tried to get it to Schreiber, which he did touch the ball in the last session, but it seemed like guys were just getting in each other's way. Didn't seem like whatever play was called didn't happen, and then it kind of just went crazy. And Ohio was scrambling for shots and scrambling to get matchups and picking down and picking away and running off of picks, and in the end, it didn't get them anything. And, you know, New York held on, had a great victory here. Let's not take anything away from the Lizards. Another thing that happened in this game, Paul Rabil played a lot of attack. What'd you make of that?
I thought it was a really, really good idea. You know, it's funny, I kind of thought going into the game that they were going to have this kind of giant log jam at attack, and I was thinking they might not know what to do in that situation, you know? But it turns out that they had, like, even another strategy that I hadn't even considered, and that was move Paul Rabil down there. You know, it worked out well, and it kept him involved the entire time, you know? So, I mean, it worked out great.
Always want to get PR99 extra touches. We're going to move on to the second game, Atlanta 17, Florida 4. Wah, wah. The biggest mollywop of the entire season, the launch reverted back to their old form from the past few years and died a death of not even 1,000, perhaps like 17 cuts, right?
Yeah, sounds about right.
Just, I don't remember the last time I saw a more embarrassing performance on offense by an MLL team. Can you?
No, I definitely don't. And the thing was, you know, they had the 3 goals in the first quarter. So, I mean, you know, if it's, I mean, 4 goals, you know, there's not a lot of ways you can dress that up to make it look good, you know. But, like, you know, what if it was like a goal in each quarter, you know, then you think, okay, maybe it was consistent but not enough. But, no, they had 3 in the first quarter, so it's 4-3, and you're like, okay, you know, it's like 2 boxers. They're still kind of, you know, feeling each other out, figuring things out. And then nothing in the second quarter. And then 1 goal in the third, and then they were just done after that.
To not score in 30 minutes of action, even more because, you know, they're not scoring at the end of every minute, you know, that is a new level of ineptitude. I got to be honest. I can't defend any part of the performance from anybody on Florida. I mean, Gittleman, it's not like Gittleman had like 28 saves. He had like 12 in cage for Atlanta. Like, Florida, figure it out, man. Like, maybe rein those rookies in, give them a little, take the paint off the walls in the locker room, maybe. I don't know. It did not look happy and cheery like the launch sideline has looked all season. Atlanta, on the other hand, you know, looks great. I feel like if Kevin Rice gets going and has a lot of opportunities to initiate, then that's something that's going to result in huge points for them. I mean, he had 5 goals, 2 assists in the game. Probably could have had a couple more assists if his teammates converted a few, you know, of his easy feeds. Mark Matthews had a good game, 3 goals, 2 assists. It's funny because Atlanta, we're going to talk about them because they played twice this past week. They're a team that they look the part, right? They look the part. They're going into the club. They look good. You know, they feel good. They're waiting for their jam to come on. And sometimes they just get tossed. And this is not that game. That's the next game we're going to talk about. But what do you put that kind of seesaw yo-yo result up to? Like, what if you had to put your finger on it, what would it be?
You know, sometimes I think it just comes down to defensive matchups. And I don't think teams should be in this position if they're going to get, you know, if they're going to win a championship. You almost kind of have to be matchup proof in certain areas. But, you know, for example, this game against the launch, Atlanta's defense looked really good just as individuals. You know, like Callum Robinson and Graham Hossick, they were physically dominating those matchups. You know, like, they made the guys they were going against look inexperienced in those positions. And, you know, just kind of imposed their will. And so when it lines up correctly like that, it's great for Atlanta. And when it does not, which we will get to, it's not great for Atlanta. You know, as far as, like, attack goes, I'm super not worried about Atlanta's attack. You know what I mean? They are going to get theirs almost every single game. You know what I mean? Like, you got Rice, you got Matthews, you got Stotts or Donahue, and Bocklet. I mean, they're going to do Ratliff. Fine. Exactly. They got Ratliff. They got the offense taken care of. It's just sometimes when the defensive matchups work out, they really, really work out, and then sometimes they do not.
We'll get to that game eventually. One more game we're going to talk about before we get there. Chesapeake 19, Rochester 9. Rochester started out fast in this game. Jordan Wolf, you know, looked to be unstoppable early on at 4 points, I believe in the first quarter alone. But they wilted so fast. Like, what happened?
You know what I think happened? So Chesapeake's defense threw a lot of different looks at Rochester. And, I mean, they pulled it off really well. You know, they went into a zone a couple times.
Yep.
And that it worked very well. It kind of threw the Raptors off. They switched their approach to Jordan Wolf, which I've seen teams try to do this in the past, but usually it's too late, or they switch to a technique that's even worse than the one they were using. But Chesapeake kind of, they were like, okay, you know, if you're going to get to GLE, we're going to have somebody else standing there, you know? And I think if they can just keep that going, or if any sort of defense keeps that going, that's pretty much the only sort of approach that I've noticed draws some sort of success in Rochester's situation, where, you know, Jordan Wolf just kind of, you know, just, you know, turns into a ball of fire from X and goes shooting through. You know, so you got to have, like, you got to have different looks in place with your defense. You know what I mean? It's not just throw everybody out there and say, you take this guy, you take that guy. So they had different looks. I think that's what worked.
So this is a big win for Chesapeake. They're now in fifth place at 4-5. Lyle and Matt Abbott with huge games here offensively. What do the Bayhawks have to do to make the playoffs in your mind?
Well, so here's the thing. As far as I'm concerned right now, pretty much anybody can beat anybody. You know what I mean? And the reason why I'm saying that is because I don't want to preface this as just a super easy answer saying, we'll just win some games. But, I mean, the way the league is right now, there's no teams that are really that surprising if they win to me, you know? Like, Chesapeake has back-to-back games coming up against Florida. And we shouldn't assume Florida's a four-goal team, even though they just scored four in that last game. You know, I mean, they had won three in a row, but they've lost two in a row. So, I mean, if that continues, you know, is Chesapeake going to catch them at a bad time? Because if that's the case, that's one, maybe two more wins right there. And but they do close out the season against Denver twice, which is tough. So I'm thinking maybe if they win the next two out of three, they'll be in really good shape. Atlanta's that third game that I hadn't mentioned. So, I mean, yeah, you know, I don't want to oversimplify it, but, you know, if they just kind of have to stay prepared and, you know, adjust their defense accordingly like they did this last weekend.
Yeah, with five losses, it's you know, you almost have to win out. You get like one mulligan at that point. You know, you really need to get at least to 8-6, you know, if not better. And with five losses already, I feel like they really need to win, you know, the next group of games, period. Next five games. I think that's a must. We're going to move on to the final game from this past weekend, which was actually played on the 4th of July in Denver after the World Series of Youth Lacrosse. Semifinals, I believe. Denver 24, Atlanta 12. This is a tough loss for Atlanta. I mean, this is going to be known as the game where Jack Kelly scored a two-pointer at the end of the third. But the untold story of that play is that Denver was held scoreless for the entire third quarter before that happened in the final couple seconds. And the Outlaws were getting worked. They were getting the bag beat off of them for that entire 15 minutes minus those last few seconds. It's amazing how much one play can change a game. What was your read on that whole situation?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I totally agree with what you just said. You know, who knows what happens after that third quarter if it's 3-0. I mean, going into a huddle at the end of a quarter thinking, you know, you just shut out the Outlaws. I mean, they'd scored 9 goals in the second quarter. So, I mean, holding them to 0 seems, you know, phenomenal, but holding them to 2 and to that kind of 2, I mean, you know, you definitely don't want to think that there's, you know, one play in one game that kind of just breaks the camel's back. But, you know, you saw the play and when it happened, you know, Adam Gilman, he's just throwing his arms up afterward. He's like, you know, are you kidding me? You know? And at that point, I don't know what you do to shake that off. I mean, it clearly kind of, you know what I mean? It kind of hit him wrong. And
he was taking a drink of water, Chris. He was thirsty, and the ball went in. I'm sorry. I don't really want to make fun of him. I was pretty merciless on Twitter, so I'm going to let it go. But that was an unbelievable play. But the real story for me for this game was Denver's offense, and I think they look, you know, they look unstoppable sometimes. And this is one of those times. They looked so good moving the ball, moving off the ball, hitting both wings, dodging downhill, dodging from X. Hitting guys with not the first pass, but the second pass as well for easy conversions in front of the crease. I mean, I said it before, I'll say it again. I think Denver is unbeatable when they play with that sort of offense. On the other side of the field, Atlanta's defense, I just feel like they press out so much. And against, you know, you saw that work against a team like Florida with a lot of guys that are inexperienced, but Denver is a veteran team. They're the champions. You can't press out and throw like five haymakers on a guy and expect that guy to forget that and or like wins or like shy away from the next time he goes against you. That's not how the MLO works. And with a team like Denver, they'll take it personally and they'll come back and shove the ball down your throat. And that's what happened to the Blaze. I absolutely believe that. What's your take?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely agree. Denver has just the craziest ball movement probably out of anybody. It's just nuts. When, like you said, certain times you're saying, you know, unbeatable times, they just look insane the way the ball moves around. And that, and I mean, they were just throwing skip passes all night, like just nobody's business. And Atlanta couldn't keep up with it, you know? And sometimes you get a Denver that just rolls like they rolled last night. They're phenomenal. One thing that I think, you know, especially in light of the, you know, full field goal and, you know, all the goals that were scored in this game, the faceoffs, Thomas Kelly was a monster on Jake Withers, who, you know, started off just kind of rolling through this entire league. You know, I mean, I think that's one of the bigger stories in this game that, I mean, you know, you can't get the ball back and they just kept going and kept going. And, you know, I mean, Atlanta, you know, they needed the ball and they couldn't get it.
Thomas Kelly's the best faceoff guy in the league. True or false?
Yeah, I'm good with that.
Yeah, me too. Absolutely. Underrated participant and contributor to that Denver Outlaws team. We're going to talk about one of our sponsors now. And Chris, it's an old favorite. It's Blue Apron. Are you familiar with Blue Apron?
I am.
Blue Apron is the number one fresh ingredient and recipe delivery service in the country. It's their mission to make incredible home cooking accessible to everyone. They've established partnerships with over 150 local farms, fisheries, and ranchers across the United States. Everything you're getting is fresh. You know, it's a product that impacts your household. Cooking together builds strong family bonds. You know, if you spend a lot of money at restaurants or high-end grocery chains, you can spend, you know, way over $10 a person with Blue Apron. It's way under $10 a person. And you get a pre-prepared meal ready for you to cook. Some of the meals coming up this month include seared chicken and creamy pasta salad with summer squash and sweet peppers. Sounds good, right?
Sounds delicious.
Yeah. Chili butter steaks with Parmesan potatoes and spinach. I'm a steak guy. I might have to put in for that one. You know, Blue Apron is affordable. Again, for less than $10 a person per meal, Blue Apron delivers seasonal recipes along with pre-portioned ingredients to make delicious home-cooked meals. Check out this week's menu and get your first three meals free. Yeah, free, with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/lacrosse. That's blueapron.com/lacrosse. You'll love how good it feels and tastes to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron, so don't wait. Blue Apron, a better way to cook. And that's how you do a live read. We're going in, yeah, we're going into our first interview of the podcast. This is an all-timer. It's a Hall of Fame interview. Defenseman Mike Evans of the Chesapeake BayHawks. We welcome to the podcast defenseman extraordinaire from the Chesapeake BayHawks, Mike Evans. Mike, what's going on, man?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Absolutely, absolutely. I'm just going to jump right into it. You've been a mainstay as a top-tier defender since you came into the league. What's the hardest part about playing defense in the MLL?
I mean, honestly, it's just, especially for the young guys coming in, it's just very different from the college game where, you know, you have a lot of, like, defensive schemes and there's no shot clock and you kind of can take your time getting set up, whereas in the MLL, it's just so fast, and it's very much a one-on-one league. I mean, don't get me wrong, we have a team scheme, and every team probably has like a defensive scheme with them, but it's very much a one-on-one heavy league, and that's just, you know, it's played to my benefit, you know, my earlier years, and now, you know, I'm going on whatever it is now, like year nine, God, but you know, it's worked out, and you know, I love it, and you know, cover guys and guys that thrive on one-on-one scenarios in college definitely will love the league as well. So it definitely is a certain fit for a defenseman, and I've lucked out.
Now, looking at those 9 years, you mentioned that you've been in the league. Just who comes to mind as the toughest cover that you've gone up against that no longer plays in the league?
Hands down, Brendan Mundorf. Mundy, when he was, you know, when he was in the league and he was playing for Denver, and you know, I was a new guy coming out. Hopkins, he was the guy that I was like, you know, you got to watch out for this guy, you know. And I didn't really follow, you know, lacrosse that much growing up, and didn't really know of his time at UMBC, and I was like, all right, well, you know, I've heard of some names, and Mundorf definitely is a name that comes up. And then the first dodge, it's like, you know, you got this lefty that is big, he's strong, he's fast, and, you know, you can literally, you know, I would baseball bat swing him, and he kind of liked it. So it was just kind of like, wait a second, something's off here in his head. And you know, we kind of just battled back and forth for a while, and eventually we got on the same team, and now we're best buddies. But he is he's definitely the guy that I would say is the hardest cover I've ever had.
So this season you've worked alongside, you know, two goalies. You had a bunch of new poles playing different roles, Kashansky, Costaville, playing close, LSM. I mean, how do all these changes in your lineup for the Bayhawks affect your role and preparation going into a game?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I've been fortunate to be one of the captains for, you know, I've been in the league 9 years, been one of the captains for 8 years. And, you know, no matter what the role is that you have, you definitely are, you know, whatever scenario it is, you're still hopefully looked at as one of the leaders on the team. So, you know, we have a bunch of moving parts. We have two goalies. We're split in halves. We have young guys that came in. I think we started like 7 or 8 young guys, you know, rookies a few weeks back. And, you know, it's still kind of the same thing. You know, everyone knows what you have to do. You're playing a game, you know, which you're fortunate to play, and you're grateful to play because you can walk, you run, you're healthy, you're athletic, and it's something that everyone's done since they were a kid. So, you know, sure, there's different schemes, there's different, you know, roles that people play, but for me, you know, I guess I'm one of the older guys now, you know, 8 years later, 9 years later, it's still just kind of, you know, helping to lead these guys to a greater goal of winning a game. And eventually, you know, you win each game, hopefully you make the playoffs. And then, you know, being a Chesapeake Bayhawk, you hope to contend for a championship every year. So if you're fortunate enough, you get to do that. But, you know, with the roles and the shifting pieces that we have, I'd say, you know, 4 or 5 of us definitely take on that leadership role. Everyone's got their own kind of thing in the way that they do it. But yeah, mine's kind of been steady for the past, you know, 7, 8 years. But definitely, you know, I'm excited about this group that we have. We have a great defensive unit. We have a whole lot of new young guys that are awesome people, not even just great players, but great people. So I'm definitely looking forward to it.
Now, you're a Hopkins guy, but you play with and you play for a bunch of Terps. So how unbearable have they been to be around this summer?
I mean, can you believe that? I mean, you know, the Terps, especially with me, like, you know, growing up, I, my whole family went, you know, my dad was a Terp, played football. My mom was a Terp. My sisters all went there. Uncles all went there. And so I just was like, as soon as I went to Hopkins, I was like, you know what? I hate everything Maryland. Hate everything. You know, Coach Petro was like, you know, this is anything red you hate. I'm like, yeah, red. I hate it. And then all of a sudden now we have all these Terps. And literally I was looking at statistics or something. We literally have like 20. I think we have like 20 Terrapins on the team. If you include like Cottle, you include Reese, you know, any of these guys that have been involved with the Terps and the guys that are playing now, I'm like, you have to be kidding me. And we used to have some hot. We used to have some hot blood, but now it's. I think I might be the only guy, right? I mean, I think I'm the only Hopkins guy on the squad, and it's not going well, to be honest. You know, I try and stand my ground, but it's tough. You know, used to be able to mess with him a little bit because, you know, it was in 1975 or something when they won. And then finally, I guess I won, which, you know what, I'm happy they finally won one. That's great. I can still rip on them for going like 1-80 in the last few, but it's definitely, you know, it's tough. It's tough, but hopefully I can get some of these Terps to buy into the stuff we have going on with the Bayhawks, which I think they're other great people and great guys, and you know, hopefully I can get a couple MLL rings, which would be nice.
Yeah, man. All the Terps all want a piece of me too. So I feel you. I understand. It's all good.
Exactly, right?
Son of a 100%. All right, so done with the serious stuff. We'll have a little fun here. Who is the greatest movie superhero in your opinion?
I mean, I'm into all this too. You know, I just saw the Wonder Woman movie. I was going to say I'd want to be Wonder Woman, but that could raise some different questions on the block. But I'm going to have to go with, I'm a big Batman guy. You know, I think Bruce Wayne's a total beast. I think he's got everything. He's got the looks, he's got the money, he's got the powers enough to, you know, get by and beat some butt. So I'm a big Batman guy.
The important follow-up to that is which Batman? Keaton, Kilmer, Clooney?
Dude, I'm a Christian Bale.
There you go. All right.
Christian Bale, what a stud. I mean, I think that, you know, those three movies are some of my favorite movies of all time, let alone, like, hands down the best action movies of all time.
And now, what stick are you currently using? And do you string your own or do you got a guy?
You know what? Here's the issue with this. And Miles Jones, if you talk to him at some point, he will rip on me because I know nothing about sticks. Literally, I just need a piece of plastic. Doesn't even have mesh in it. But it, you know, I have this warp thing. You know, these guys, my buddy Ken Clawson, I played against a bunch, is a big believer in these warps. So I was like, yeah, man, you know, send me. He's like, you don't have to do anything to it. You don't have to touch it. It is what it is. Just play with it. And I'm like, okay, well, chances, you know, I know Coach Reese and Coach Kyle would love me to get more ground balls. I'm trying as hard as I can, but it's not really my game. But I'm going to try and scoop up some of these balls in the field. And the warp is what I'm using. And I've been through six of them in the last, you know, 8 weeks, but they keep sending them, so I keep using them. Matt Bocklet used to help me with sticks in college. And my first couple years out of school, he used to send me a couple of his sticks. I mean, granted, I'll never have the stick that Maddie has, but it just holding the stick makes me feel like I might be able to get a couple of the ground balls he would get, kind of like a superhero thing. But yeah, I'm going with the warp. So ask the guys about it. They know I'm a big proponent of the warp. I might be the only guy on the team with it, which doesn't make any sense, but I'm doing it. So yeah, the warp. I'm a warp guy right now, I guess.
Now, what is the last song that you listen to?
The last song that I listened to, I'm just a big like old school Eminem guy still. Like, you know, these guys have these remixes and stuff, and you know, I am a big Eminem guy, so I'd have to say the last one I listened to was probably like, I don't even know, like probably Toy Soldiers or something I just listened to when I was lifting. I just put his albums on like repeat, and I just flow through them. So whatever the last song on, it might be like 8 Mile, I don't even know. But for some reason, his stuff just makes me hate everyone and everything. So it helps me out when I lift.
All right, and finally, big question here: what is your go-to order at Chipotle or your other favorite burrito place?
Oof, good one, good one. Definitely. So I start with brown rice. I'm a burrito guy, so I try and test the Chipotle people, you know, as a whole, just to see if they can actually wrap the burrito that I'm ordering. So I'm like, yeah, I'll get a brown rice burrito. I'll do double chicken and single steak. So it's essentially like people talk about like getting meaty and they do like the double meat. No, you want to get meaty, you do the trip meat. So I do triple meat. And then I put some corn in there, a little bit of cheese, not too much, and then guacamole. And then I'd say 9 times out of 10, they have to get a separate, little tortilla and make it into a two tortilla into one kind of thing. And it's fascinating to see some of the styles that they come up with. But that's my go-to. Trip chick, double chick, single steak, trip meat.
That is the greatest burrito order we have ever heard on the podcast.
I'm telling you. And it's like eating, it's the easy part. But like the sweat that drips off the Chipotle people's like forehead when they have to wrap this thing and they're staring at you and like a piece of it rips, I'm like, look, it's okay. We're going to make this together, you and me. Grab that other tortilla. We're going to make this 2 into 1. They're like, okay, yeah, yeah. It might be their first time, first week on the job. They don't know what to do. and I help them through it. So it's good.
Absolutely stellar advice on and great burrito placement and choices from Mike Evans. You can catch him in the All-Star game for MLL this Saturday, Sacramento, California, playing some D, laying some wood. I want to see you cross half line and warp forward, man. Can you do that for me?
You know, to be honest, I think a lot of people are waiting for that. I think my parents are still, you know, 12 years later. But I'm going to try and do that for you guys. I guess if there's any time to do it, it'd be this weekend. So, I think I might have to do that. I don't know. We'll see where the shot goes. I might get a shot off. I don't know where it's going, but if I do that, I'll point up in the stands when I'm pointing. Just know that I'm pointing at you guys.
Shoot or shoot, man. Thanks for coming on. Really appreciate it.
All right, guys. Thanks brother. Mike. See you guys.
So that was wild.
Yeah. Didn't see that coming.
No, that was amazing. Folks, we went in their interview and we're like, all right, let's interview Mike. And then he crushed it. And Chris and I, while we're doing it, are crying because we're laughing. It's so great. What a great interview. Great job. Mike Evans. Do you think he's going to actually go across half field? Because I feel like he has to.
I feel like he definitely has to, and I'm really rooting for him to take a shot. If the ball comes anywhere near him on defense, I think he's going to scoop it up, and just the seas are going to part in his mind, and he's like, all right, it's go time.
I think they should just let him shoot it too, right? Just let him shoot.
Yeah, maybe.
Let him shoot. Let him have one. Come on. It's an all-star game. They've done worse. They've done more for less. Let's put it that way. All right. We're going to get into our second segment. We're not doing any news. We're not doing any of that stuff. We're actually bringing in a time-honored tradition for the MLL All-Star season, and that is the Chris and Kyle MLL All-Star Draft. Insert swanky music. Chris, how long have we been doing this?
3 years, I think. Is that right?
So you won 2 years ago. Did I win the first year? And then I won last year by a half point, I believe.
Well, last year.
Or is that disputed?
Yes. It's a highly contested. Nobody has the belt now. The belt is suspended above the ring right now. Because it came down. See, it would have just been easy. And it would have been no problem at all, but Scott Rogers had to make that one-handed save, robbing Marcus Holman. So reverse shout-out to Scott Rogers for ruining my team for me. So what happened is a group of players did the Running Man Challenge, I think.
Yep.
But one of your players, if I'm not mistaken, did – it might have been Will Manny. Somebody did like a post goal high five kind of thing that, you know, it was like 20 steps to it, and it was like a whip and a nay nay thrown in at the end or something like that.
Yep, there was a whip, there was a nay nay. Yes.
Yeah. So some controversy over because the points were determined by best Selly or something like that. So again, it would have all been averted. Had Scott Rogers not made that?
Yeah, we'll have to make an adjustment to the language moving forward. But right now, we are going to get into drafting anyway. And Chris, as a show of my appreciation for you remembering that, I would like you to have the first pick for attack. We're going position by position because with two people, that's kind of how you have to do it.
That's fair. Let's see here. For attack, the starting attackman, team captain for Team Rosenthal's No Limit Soldiers, I'm going to stick with Marcus Holman. I think he can.
He stabbed you in the back. He stabbed you in the back. And you're taking him first?
I believe in him. He can finish that shot. I believe in you, Marcus.
Friend of the pod, but damn. Damn. All right.
See, he's mad now because he's on the receiving end of that Rodgers highlight. He doesn't want that.
No.
He's got to prove something. He's got something to prove now.
That's solid. I'm with you. I'm going to follow that, your number one, with my number one. Will Manny. It's funny. This roster says Boston, but we know he's not there anymore. Will Manny, New York Lizards, is my number one selection for Team Devitt. And that's just what we're going to call it, because no one even knows my first name anyway. I cede the floor to you, sir.
All right. My pick, Kevin Rice. Atlanta Blaze.
Damn.
Syracuse Orange.
It's a good pick.
22.
It's a good pick.
Thank you, sir.
Man, this is a tough one, because I'm looking at two hounds here, and I don't know who to take. You know what? Shout to Joey Sankey. I'm taking Joey Sankey. My whole attack line is going to be under 5'9", maybe. Probably not, because I think you're going to take another guy. But I got to give love to the little guys. The newest commercial for Maverick came out during the 4th of July game. And Maverick-sponsored athletes are like Jordan Wolf, Joe Walters, and Joey Sankey. And they're all talking throughout the commercial while they're playing. And it's all like criticisms. And someone was like, are those things you wrote about them? And I was like, first of all, I would never say bad things about Joey Sankey or Jordan Wolf. Walters and I had a couple bad years. I'm not going to lie to you. So I was like, I might have said that about Walters, probably. But in jest. And it turns out I actually had to go to the brand manager and be like, where did you get those? Who's saying those? Why are you saying those? It wasn't me. It's just criticisms they've faced from other people throughout their career. So I just want to clear that up. But I'm taking Joey Sankey, my second pick. Chris, tell me your third.
Third pick, I'm taking that other hound, Ryan Brown.
Damn it.
Yep.
All right.
The sniper.
I'm giving you this one because I can't. No, you know what? I'm going to take him. I can't do it. I'm taking Kieran McArdle because there's no way he was on the bad end of a 4-goal game and doesn't want to murder someone. So I'm taking McArdle with my third pick. Who you got it for? Show me the disrespect. Show it to me. I can feel it.
So it appears.
I can feel it.
Two outlaws sitting out here.
Oh, God. You're going to do it.
I mean, the man just dropped, what, 6 goals?
Yeah.
I think I got to bring Mike Bocklet onto the squad.
Oh, that's awesome.
Killer Mike. Killer Mike Bocklet. That's his new nickname.
That's good. We don't do enough nicknames. We need to do more nicknames.
There you go.
More nicknames. With that in mind, I can't believe he's the last pick. This is tough. I'm going to take the other outlaw that's on the board, Eric Law. I actually own Eric Law's 2015 MLO All-Star jersey.
Huh.
I bought
Will
it at an auction.
Will you be wearing it during this All-Star game?
I might be wearing it right now. I will probably wear it for the whole weekend. It'll be awesome. It's still in the plastic. I haven't even taken it out. I'm actually not sure if it's his. It's still in the package it came in. I never opened it. But I have it. I actually was going to give it back to him, but I haven't seen him lately. So that's our attack. I have Will Manny, Joey Sankey, Kieran McArdle, and Eric Law. And Chris has Marcus Holman, Kevin Rice, Ryan Brown, and Mike Bocklet. Damn you, you did better than me in that draft. All right. We're going to move on to midfield before we split into our interview with Miles Jones. I'm going to take first pick for midfield because you got attack. And sure. I'm going to take – you know what? I'm going to take Rabel because Rabel has like barely played in All-Star games for a long time, and I feel like he wants people to remember him. I feel like he wants to do more than podcast for the rest of the season. And that's why I'm taking him. I'm betting big on Rabes here. He wants his own.
It's a very good pick. I think you're right. I think something's bringing him back out to these games. So, you know, he isn't showing up for nothing. With that in mind, I will be taking Tom Shriver to head up my midfield and hand out 14 assists and 8 goals as well.
I'm sorry, who was that?
Tom Schreiber.
Ah, yeah.
MLL MVP, Tom Schreiber, I guess.
Yeah. Okay. That's just making sure. I'm just making sure. Yep. You know, I'm going to go – I feel like this All-Star game is going to be like an ode to like old school guys. And there's something to be said about picking guys that are not going to TVOSA tryouts. But I'm taking Joe Walters. And that's because I think, like Rabel, he is not – you know, he does play in these games, but he hasn't had that game in an All-Star game, right? He hasn't had that moment. And I think he wants it. And also 99 plus 1 is 100. I don't know why I just said that. That was terrible. Go ahead.
I'm going to pick up Miles Jones, new friend of the pod, and a bad man.
That's the man loves his fiance too, and we'll get to that, folks. Oh, we'll get to that. Good pick by you.
Thank you, sir.
I am going to go with Peter Baum. Because I think Peter Baum is the perfect guy for a game like this that can just fire balls and run past people because people aren't going to be playing a lot of defense. And Baum's the kind of guy that will take advantage of that.
I agree with that. And speaking of running past people, give me Jake Bernhardt.
Okay.
Because he can do that.
I mean, someone's got to be on the wings, right? Someone's got to, like, take faceoffs. It's not they're just going to throw, like, eight poles out there, right?
Maybe. They might just do alternating possession. Who knows?
Yeah, who knows? Well, they got faceoff guys, so I don't think they're going to do that. I'm going to take Jeremy Sieverts because congratulate. Hey, shout to Jeremy Sieverts. We were speculating on his hot and cold streak, and we found out via Instagram that he got engaged. So congratulations, Jeremy Sieverts.
Yeah, way to go, buddy.
Great job.
For my next pick, I'm going to take Kevin Crowley. He is a staple in All-Star games, and he shows up and goes big, which I appreciate and applaud, and I think he will do the same for my squad.
That rhymed. It's a good couplet.
I know. I was going to drop a 16. I might do it later for somebody else. We'll see.
We'll save your bars for later. We'll save it. I will take Drew Snyder because I don't know why you didn't take him. And if I have Snyder and Sieverts, I feel like I've already won. Your pick.
That's fair. That's fair. There are – see, here's the thing about midfield, though. There's snipers all over the place. And so – I'm going to seed a couple of the snipers there and go for another sniper. Mike Tannenchuk on another hound on my squad. And he's not afraid to shoot from anywhere.
No, not at all. Let me meet that and match that even with Connor Busick from Florida, who literally has no conscience about shooting and is at his best just creating and firing from outside 10 yards.
That is fair. I was kind of hoping he might come back around. You know what? Let me take Matt Abbott, who has been scoring a ton of points. He's almost completely dishing this whole defensive midfielder thing, and now he just scores crazy points. So put him on my team.
This is the most athletic man in the world. Man, I'm going to stick with my – I really want to pick McCready's here, but no. I'm going with my favorite Kyle in the league, Kyle Denhoff from Rochester, D3 product from St. John Fisher College. Welcome to squad.
He's got range on the bombs as well. And I'm welcoming Matt McCready's back-to-back mats for me. That was a strategy I employed.
Okay.
I think it'll pay off.
All right. That's it for our midfielders. Before we get you guys into the interview with Miles Jones, we want to welcome a new sponsor for us, ZipRecruiter. Are you hiring? Do you know where to post your job to find the best candidates? You know, Chris, when I got hired as an editor at Inside Lacrosse about 3 years ago. I had no idea where to find good lacrosse writers. I scoured the internet and I basically just found you because I knew who you were and you cared about the MLL and I enjoyed that. And we brought you on. If we had ZipRecruiter, I feel like we could have brought on maybe more than one Chris. Not that we need more than one, but we could have found some additional supplements. But glad I found you. But if we had ZipRecruiter, maybe we would have found you a little faster. With ZipRecruiter, you can post your job to 100 plus job sites with just one click. Then their powerful technology efficiently matches the right people to your job better than anyone else. That's why ZipRecruiter is different. Unlike other job sites, ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them. In fact, over 80% of jobs posted on ZipRecruiter get a qualified candidate in just 24 hours. Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by businesses of all sizes to find the most qualified job candidates with immediate results. And right now, our listeners can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free. Yeah, free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/lacrosse. I know, slash lacrosse. That's ZipRecruiter.com/lacrosse. One more time to try it for free. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/lacrosse. And that's going to bring us into our interview with MLL All-Star and Chesapeake Bayhawk midfielder, Miles Jones. Now we welcome on All-Star midfielder from the Chesapeake Bayhawks, Miles Jones. Miles, how's it going, man?
Good, good, man. Can't complain. Body's healthy, ready to rock for the second half of the season.
Absolutely. Miles and I met at a shoot for String League, and you know, he's an Adidas sponsored athlete. We got to talking a little bit, and I still need to hear the story about what it was like to go to Adidas HQ for the first time and what your favorite pair of kicks that you got from them has been.
So my first time visiting the campus was pretty sweet. It was actually this fall. I was there for about 5 days, did a bunch of different things. We went over a little bit of R&D on the products that I've been able to use. We did a little design and 3D printing with future products. And then I just kind of messed around for the most part. I did a clinic with little kids, but before that, I actually did a clinic with the employees. So that was pretty entertaining to try to teach, you know, the employees who some of them played sports, some of them never played a sport in their life. Just kind of the ins and outs of lacrosse, which was pretty cool. And then I did a 10-hour photo shoot, which took a lot. I was up from 6 in the morning, ended up getting finished with that, wrapping up around 6 at night. So I actually got a lot of cool things done. It was kind of a really cool experience to see all the things that go on behind the scenes. And obviously my favorite Adidas shoe that I've gotten is definitely Yeezy.
Now, on field wise, what do you think has been the biggest difference you've experienced in your second year as a pro?
I think the attention from the defense. You know, I was being a rookie, I was playing with Joe Walters and Brendan Mundorf, two guys who've been around the league for a while. So I think most of the attention was on those guys. You know, obviously Joe being, you know, first team all MLL, up for the MVP award. And being an ML All-Star, a seasoned veteran, I think guys really focus on him beating us the most. And I think that I was able to take advantage of, you know, a little bit lesser retention. But obviously with the part of those two guys, focus has been on me dodging. I think a lot of teams are trying to take away my ability to score unassisted goals, and which has opened up a lot of a lot of space for my teammates. We got a lot of young guys on the team right now, and they're all performing really well. You know, Lyle came in, and you know, I think he looks a lot more comfortable in game two. He, obviously, from his performance last game, obviously Josh Byrne, Jake Ficarro, and Colin Heacock are all producing at a high level for being rookies. And then we have, you know, Matt Danowski, who's a, you know, a veteran there leading us in that department. So I think that season two has been a lot different for me personally, but I think, it's awesome playing for the Bayhawks. I think we have a good thing going right now.
Going back to Lyle Thompson, you once shared an Inside Lacrosse cover with him. Now you're on the same team. Do you ever think you'd be on a team with him? Is that something guys talk about in college? And, you know, just kind of a follow up to that, is there any other player that you'd love to play alongside that isn't in the league yet?
I mean, it's really one of those things where, kind of in college, we didn't know how much movement that goes on in the MLL. And when we got him, I was very surprised. I mean, I knew he was going to miss a few games with the NLL season and how well he and his team was playing down the stretch. But I never would expect to play with such a great player that also demands a lot of attention. You know, sometimes I kind of get caught in, like, you know, watching him play. Just some of the things he does is very admirable. Just the way he, you know, his body control, you know, and the way he uses the defense and sees the field is really cool, and especially to be a teammate and receiving some of those passes. But as far as guys that haven't stepped on the MLL field yet, you know, I'm pretty excited to see where some of the guys that I actually played with when I was at Duke, like Justin Gutterding, see where he goes, because he's a, you know, obviously a great talent. And Danny Fowler, who's been playing really well, he's gonna be a fifth year senior this year, obviously starting in the cage again. So I'd be excited to kind of play some of those guys, just kind of, you know, see those guys on a different field and wearing different jerseys.
Now, you're heading to the first All-Star game this weekend, and it's a looser vibe than, you know, the regular season games. And sometimes people break out a few celebrations from time to time. But, you know, you do a few in-game ones. Like, what kind of things do you hear from opponents maybe after, you know, a celebration, or, you know, if you flex a little bit or you step over somebody? Does anybody ever take exception to that sort of thing?
I mean, I've had a few guys, you know, say something to me, whether it was, you know, me scoring a goal and someone hit me and fell, and, you know, I'm not even making a malicious gesture towards anyone, but, you know, I think a lot of guys have had their teammates' backs when their teammates have kind of fallen on the short end of that stick, so to speak. But I think everyone is just out there having fun for the most part. I mean, I don't, you know, try to go after any guys, but I think that there's going to be a lot of fun celebrations going on this weekend with a lot of talented guys, just, you know, laying back. And I think that, you know, it'll be a chance for us to, you know, express ourselves a little more than usual. I think the refs will obviously understand what the All-Star game entails. It's obviously a platform where some kids get to watch some of the best players, but it's also a platform where we get to play with guys we don't usually play with and have a little more fun than usual.
All right, switching gears, going on to a little getting away from the serious stuff, moving on to some fun questions. We start with, who is the greatest movie superhero?
The greatest movie superhero? I think that would have to be Superman.
Why?
I mean, I think the name speaks for itself, and obviously if anyone's a fan of Superman, they understand that I mean, he can do basically anything. I mean, my favorite, growing up, my favorite superhero was Iron Man, but I'll give it Superman as the greatest.
All right. Now, what stick are you currently using, and do you string your own, or you got a guy?
I'm laughing. I'm thinking about Mike Evans answering this question. But, yeah, I get my stick strung by the guys at East Coast Dyes. Right now, I'm currently using the Adidas Enrage. I'm not really picky on shafts because we can't use Adidas shafts in the league, but just anything. I like the shaft to be a little thicker. You should tape them up so it doesn't really matter what the grip is like. But the Adidas Enrage has been pretty good for me. It's, you know, a little more pinched. It allows the guys at East Coast Dyes to string my sticks with a nice channel, so it allows me to hold the ball when I'm doing that sort of power dodge and shoot the ball hard, but it has enough hold for me to, you know, throw good passes and not throwing the ball at my teammates' ankles.
What's the last song you listened to?
The last song I listened to. Well, I was actually driving back from Savannah, Georgia today. I think the last song I listened to was Halo by Beyonce. I think that was the last one that got played.
Also, and finally,
fun fact.
Sorry, what's that?
That's also my favorite song, fun fact.
Thanks. There's nothing wrong with that.
And nothing wrong at all.
I think Beyonce has an angelic voice. And I'm not afraid to admit that at all.
right there with her.
What is your go-to order at Chipotle or your favorite burrito spot?
Burrito spot, definitely Chipotle is my favorite one, but when I go there, I get half chicken, half carnitas, no beans, brown rice. I get pico, medium, sometimes sweet corn, depending on how I feel, cheese, guacamole, sour cream, and usually I'm a big sour cream fan. People think that's kind of weird, but I like to go like a little more sour cream than usual, but then guacamole.
Well, I just found this question here. Can we get Yeezys? That's weird. I didn't type. Chris, did you type that in the rundown? Was that you? Or?
No, I don't think. We might have gotten hacked. I don't know. I didn't.
Yeah, weird.
You know, when I first signed with Adidas, it was always hard for me to get them. I think they were you actually have to – Kanye West actually signs off on all the people that get them. But usually I'm not sure he looks at the list of athletes that are getting them. But I know for a fact that if you probably tweet something bad about him, you probably get blacklisted from that list. So if you have any tweets about Kanye being, you know, eccentric or weird or not, you know, agreeing with things he does, I would probably delete those before before you ask.
Well, wait, does I miss the old Kanye account? Because that's like a go-to hashtag. I used it yesterday.
I mean, I think he would appreciate that. I think he might put an asterisk next to your name and get you two pairs.
All right. Good to know. All right. Well, we'll be having a conversation later on. We'd like to thank Miles Jones for coming on the podcast before his first All-Star appearance in Sacramento, California this weekend. Miles, good luck, man.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
I don't know about you, Chris, but I am scouring my timeline to see if I've ever disparaged the great Kanye West, which I do not believe I have. In fact, I have referred to him on this podcast as a genius. True or false?
This is true.
True. Man's a genius. Not just saying it because I want Yeezys or the 808s, I think is your best album, even though everyone else doesn't. I believe in you. You created EDM. Don't listen to anybody else.
There would be no Drake were it not for 808s.
There would be no anything were it not for 808s. We would be living in a post-apocalyptic wasteland. We're going to do part two of our All-Star draft right now. We're going to go with defense. Chris, I cede the floor to you, sir.
Oh, well. How kind of you. First pick for the defense.
Damn it.
Number two.
Damn it.
Friend of the pod.
Damn it.
From ATL, Georgia.
Damn it.
What do we do for you? Bulldog and foes like them Georgetown Hoyas. Scott Ratliff. Come on over to Team Rosenthal.
Damn it. And you put a bar in. Damn it. All right. Oh, I should have seen that coming. Should not have given you that pick.
Nope.
I'm going to go with Brian Karalunis just because in an All-Star game, he actually really performs in All-Star games. He, like, lives for it. The camper. He's living for it. I think he's going to do a great job. He's my first pick for defense.
That is a good pick. And, yeah, I think he did really well last year. I had him on my squad last year. I'm going to take – Matt Bachlett.
For stats. Stat patter.
Ground ball patter. I mean, you know, I've got his brother too, so I try to keep those guys together, you know?
That's fair.
It's also my third Matt, so.
I'm not going to let you have that other Matt in here. I don't want you to have that strategy. I'm going to go against it, but you're not going to see it coming. I'm going to take Brandon Mullins from Boston. Because he's probably just really mad that Boston has lost so many games and he's played so well. And I think he's going to do work in the All-Star game. Go with Mullins.
Let's see here. That's a good pick. You know what? Give me Jesse Bernhardt. I didn't mean to do this on purpose, but I've also got the Bernhardts as a monopoly on my squad as well.
I have less and less faith in my team now. I'm sorry. It's funny. Like, they should have let us pick the teams. Because it would have been fun.
They should have
let us pick. I don't know. Who's picking them? Weren't they supposed to pick them today?
Yeah. You know, I called them offering up our services. You know, just be like, hey, you don't even have to pay us or anything.
Yeah.
Just give us a team. Team Rosenthal versus Team Devitt for the ML All-Star game. And they were like, yeah, thanks, but no thanks.
Yeah.
And then they said two captains, but they haven't announced who the captains were. But they're two player captains who are going to divide up the teams. And it should have happened today, but it's been no announcement yet.
Yeah, I don't see anything. I also emailed and asked. So it's not like we didn't do our due diligence. Could have had a wonderful piece there. Could have done a whole TV package, all sorts of stuff. But I'm getting ahead of myself. I'm really just stalling for my next picks because all that's left are hammer throwers, right? Like, we got a bunch of dudes just throwing wood. And I'm going to take the guy who's most likely to venture over the half line. And I don't – despite our interview with Michael Evans, I don't think it's him. I'm going to take Michael Simon from Denver. D3. Stevenson.
Yeah, you got the D3 run.
Yeah.
All right, well, with that in mind, I'm glad. I was a little nervous when you were talking it through there. I was worried you were going to do this, but I want to do it now. I am taking Michael Evans
okay.
on my team because if he scores a goal, I need that in my lineup. I'm not sure it's going to happen.
I'll tell you what.
He's going to try.
I'll tell you what. If he scores, you win. If he scores a goal, you win, and I don't even care what the rest of the points are. It's worth 5 million points. 5 million
all
points.
All be winners.
Yes.
Mike Evans scores a goal.
And you know who my player is for that? And I want you to agree to this. I'm going to take Joe Fletcher because I feel it's just as likely that he would go over the half line and take a shot that's worth 5 million points. So if either one of those two guys score, it's 5 million points. I mean, best case scenario, they both score. I feel...
Oh, how awesome would that be?
That's a scenario and a half right there. We got two guys left. Make a pick.
Let's see. We got left here. I will be taking... Matt Dunn.
You stuck to it. You did it. You did it.
Yeah.
You did it. You said you were going to do it, and you did it. I didn't think you would. And how is Jackson Place the guy that neither one of us picked?
I don't know, because he's really, really, really good.
Yeah.
And he's probably going to kill it.
Yeah. Make us look dumb. But that'll happen. What do you want to do, goalie or face-off next?
Let's just go goalie.
Goalies.
Actually, you know what? I should offer that to you because you pick first. So do you want the first face-off guy or the first goalie?
Oh, man. What a question. I would like the first goalie.
Okay.
And I would like to select Drew Adams because he's got no pressure, man. He's going to go in this game. He's going to roll in this game. And he's going to kill it. I think he's going to have a great half, whatever half he has, whatever team he's on.
Fair. I'm going to select his opponent from this past week, Kyle Burnmore. Hope you weren't going for all of the Kyles on your team.
I was. That's...
You're not savage in these all-star drafts.
I was going to say, I know you're not sorry. Don't say you're sorry.
No.
Man. So Gittleman got added, right?
Yes.
Do you think he just skips the all-star game now because of the two-pointer or no?
I think he's got to get back out there. I think he's got to hop back out there.
You know what? I'm taking him because you're absolutely right. He's a wild man, and he will run up the field and try to score. So then his goal will, if he scores, it's not worth 5 million points. I'm just taking him because I believe that I think he will do that. And he plays two-handed, and he's crazy. So I'll take him.
You know what? I think he's going to do that too. So I tried to undersell it just now.
Yeah.
When you were asking.
I know you did.
I was like, oh, yeah, he's going to participate, I assume. But didn't work. Well done. I'll be taking Tyler Fiorito. And I think he's going to do just fine.
Okay.
Seasoned vet.
Okay. even though we were both shocked to see him on the All-Star list. We're only going to have two goalies each because it's not fair to have three goalies. So, Phipps, man, sorry. You didn't get picked. You know, better luck next year. Still doing a good job. Face-off. This is your pick. And I think I know what you're going to do here. And if you don't do it, I'm going to call you out for it so hard. Go ahead.
Well.
Come on.
All right. Well, I'll just make my pick because I'm not positive. I'm taking Tom Kelly.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what that means. You know who I have to take.
No, I don't know who you have to take. I know you might take. Go ahead.
I gotta take Beast because Beast is already mad at us. And now he's more mad at you because you didn't pick him first. And I don't want Beast mad at me anymore. I want Beast on Team Devitt, so we're taking him. Who you got?
Taking Joe Nardella.
Yeah, you are. That's good. You know why?
Why is that?
Because then I got the last D3 guy, Drew Simoneau. Guess what? Guess where he's from. Guess where he's from.
Where is he from?
Manchester, New Hampshire. He is one of my people. Y'all didn't know that, but he's one of my people. We brought him on. I don't like knowing.
You have
or anything,
no idea how
like,
mad I am that I didn't take Drew Simoneau.
Now you are. Now you are.
I'm so mad.
Yeah. Yeah, you are. All right. We will post our lineups, and I think we'll probably just do simplified rules this year with the 5 million point advantage for Fletcher or Evans scoring a goal. We are going to conclude. We don't really have much to preview. We kind of just previewed the All-Star game. We don't know who's going to be on whose team, how that's going to work. But, you know, you can definitely watch it on Lax Sports Network when it airs. They are bringing back Trick Shot, I believe. Nice. How do you feel about that?
I feel like that kind of thing, it's kind of like Slam Dunk Contest. It needs to go away for a few years. And then, you know, probably by now somebody's thought of something else to introduce to it. So,
yeah,
it's just not an every year sort of thing, you know?
Yeah, I think they haven't done one since 2013. I was doing some All-Star research today. I'm actually going to put up a piece on Friday that has a video with it that's kind of like the top 15, top 20 plays in All-Star history. And I had to go all the way back to 2013 to find a skills comp. So, I mean, there's fastest shot stuff, but that's really where it happened. So hopefully it comes back with a strong, strong presence. But before we go, we forgot one segment. And that segment is Chris Explains Music. Now, Chris, this is a very important question. It's a question we all ask ourselves this time of year. What is the song of the summer of 2017?
I'm very happy you asked me that because I was just thinking about that the other day. So first of all, it's actually a trick question.
Oh.
Because the song of the summer for 2017 is the same song it has been 2016, 15, and so on and so forth.
I love what you're doing here.
From about 1993. The song of the summer, DJ Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince, Summertime.
I love it. I saw it coming and I walked right into it. It was like a glass door that was cleaned perfectly. I walked right into it.
So everybody else is playing for second place. Let's just get that out of the way. Second place for Song of the Summer might be, you know, I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'm the one, you know, the whole DJ Khaled, Chance the Rapper, Bieber, Lil Wayne returning to the spotlight.
Yeah.
That could be a nominee. Calvin Harris, Migos, Slide has kind of a Song of the Summer sort of, you know, see it in a Corona commercial or something kind of vibe to it.
Okay.
So those are the two that I'm thinking are going to be the Song of the Summers. As far as songs that are just going to be around, like, forever, that aren't really Song of the Summer songs, Believer by Imagine Dragons is not going anywhere for a long time. So
they got us again. They got us again.
Yeah. They just making bangers over there at Imagine Dragons HQ. But yeah, so the answer to that question is
summertime.
Wow. All right. Just a quick correction while I'm here. The game is on CBS Sports Network on Saturday, 7 p.m. Western, right? Because it's in Sacramento. So is that
– Yeah.
That's what, 10 p.m. over here?
Yep. Late night for the East Coast crew.
Why? All right, no. This is a positive show. We're not going to do any sort of that stuff. This is the All-Star Extravaganza. We're going to bring you guys out with a very special outro courtesy of Miles Jones's favorite artist. This is Yonsei. Halo.